I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. We're glad you've joined us again today, or if it's your first time, we don't think it'll be your last. We have found that feeding your faith on a regular basis just makes for a different life. Yes. Your faith is the victory that overcomes the world. When you're weak, it's more of a struggle. When you're strong, it's easier to overcome. In fact, having strong faith and a strong spirit affects how you see everything. It affects your whole perspective. Even when things are a challenge, maybe you're not enjoying it. It's not nice, it's not good, but strong faith in God, you know this is temporary. We'll be over this soon. Victory's ours. Hallelujah. You just see it differently, and so you talk about it, think about it differently, you deal with it. Thank God for His Spirit and His Word that builds us up, making us strong, making us able to lay hold of His inheritance. Father, all of us agree together again today. It's touching this, asking for the utterance, asking for the quickening and strength of your spirit, asking for the enlightenment of our eyes and heart and mind, the truth of your word and the light of your word to give us our answers and help for now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Look, please, in 1 Corinthians 10 again. We are continuing in our study of overcoming unbelief. And we're well over 150 lessons on this series now. And we're nearing the end of this series. So if this is the first time joining us, you're joining us near the end of it. I recommend to you go online to faithschool.org, see the series Overcoming Unbelief, start at the beginning, and you'll get a lot more out of it if you'll go through everything we've gone through leading up to this point. One of our main texts has been 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all baptized to Moses in the cloud in the sea, did all eat the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." So all the things that happened to them, they're being brought out of bondage and slavery in Egypt, is a type of us being brought out of spiritual death and bondage to our adversary and enemy and being born again, and then being delivered and brought through the Red Sea is a type of baptism and being fed spiritual food and drink spiritual drink. All of this has very real application to us spiritually today. He goes on to say, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." And like we've said before, that was not His will. That did not please Him. His plan was to bring them into the promised land. And it didn't happen for that first generation, which is a great truth that many have not acknowledged yet, that just because something is the will of God, that does not mean it's going to happen in your life or that it has to happen. We have a part to play. We either believe and receive and cooperate and follow, listen and obey, or you can ignore, you can resist, you can reject, you can rebel, you can disobey. And that affects whether the will of God is done in your life or not. Goes on to say, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they. So he goes through a list of what he's saying, don't do what they did. And down in verse 11, don't murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyed. Now all these things happen to them for ensamples. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So go back to Numbers again. We saw in Numbers 22, 23, 24, leading up to this 15th event that we're studying, what happened that Israel had experienced a couple of victories, and the neighboring nations then in Canaan are getting concerned now that they are going to come take the land. And Balak, who was king of Moab, he and his elders and dignitaries, they sent representatives to Balaam, who was a prophet, and asking him and at one point pleading with him to come curse Israel. And we talked about how that blessing and cursing is real. It was then. It is now. It's one of the big reasons that Jesus came and went to the cross. He was became a curse in our place and was judged in our place that we might be redeemed, Galatians 3:13 says, redeemed from the curse of the law. So people who mock and make fun of cursing and blessing as spiritual nonsense, they're just showing their ignorance of reality. And like we had said, this man and a lot of ancient peoples knew this from experience, and even today you'll find people that are more aware of spiritual things. They know cursing is real. Blessing is real. They may not know enough to stay out of the curse and stay in the blessing, but they know it's real. And this man, he just knew they could not beat the armies of Israel unless they were cursed instead of blessed. And so he said to Balaam, he said, I know that whom you curse is cursed and whom you bless is blessed. How would he know that? Things that had happened. This is a king asking and offering big money. You don't do that for something that's nothing. Yeah. Right, that's right. It's got to be something that everybody around knows this is real. So he tries to hire him. And so Balaam was a spiritual man. And he did have contact with God. And he went to God and God spoke to him. But he came back and said, no, you can't curse them, because they're blessed. And so then they came back again. I mean, this is an episode of repetition, because then they came back again. And so then he finally went with him after having narrowly missed death because of his faithful donkey on the road there. Balak has tried to get him to curse. And the Lord said, you can't curse whom God has blessed. So he said, well, come over here and maybe you can curse him from here. And then the Lord said, God's not a man that he should lie or that he should repent. And he said, no, there's no enchantment. There's no divination against Israel. So in our end of our last study, he was trying to get him to curse him from a third position. Let's try it. Maybe the third time we'll do it. And so that time, Balaam didn't even ask the Lord. He didn't even check. Because, you know, the last time he told him, God's not a man that he should lie or that he should change. So, without going into detail, Balaam just spoke blessing and victory over the people, more pronouncements, more and greater. and down to verse 10, 24:10, Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore, now flee you to your place. He said, you better run. Okay, he's so mad, he's ready to kill him. He's a king. He said, I thought to promote you to great honor, but lo, the Lord has kept you back from honor. And Balaam said to Balak, spake I not to your messengers that sent to me? He said, in the beginning, didn't I tell you this? If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own mind, but what the Lord says, that will I speak. And so then he pronounced some more prophecies about how Israel would defeat Moab before he left. He gave him some more pronouncements. And without getting into more detail about that, that leads us up to chapter 25, which is the 15th event in our study. But I felt we needed to take some time to look at this because you need to know how they got to where they got. In chapter 25, Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. With who? Well, who's the king of Moab? Balak. See, that's why I've been reading some of this, is because that's who this is. And they called the people, this is the Israelites now, the daughters of Moab, and these are women of Moab, called the people to the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, which was one of the main gods of the Moabites and Midianites. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said to the judges of Israel, slay ye every one of the men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And without reading the rest of it, we'll get to that at some point, but it resulted in judgment and death throughout the whole camp. How did this happen? You know, how did they get to this place, and why is it connected to Balak and Balaam? Well, look with me, if you would, in the New Testament, to the book of Revelation. We'll look there first, I suppose. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. Revelation 2:14, he says, I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Now, this is in New Testament times, after the beginning of the church, many years after the beginning of the church. The doctrine of Balaam? What's the doctrine of Balaam? Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So here we have the rest of the story from the New Testament. How do we get from Balak trying to get Balaam to curse the people, and he wouldn't, and he wouldn't, and he wouldn't. And now we see Israel joining in with the Midianites and Moabites, worshiping their gods and getting judged or cursed. Can you see this? How? What happened? Well, you put this together with other New Testament scripture in 2 Peter 2:15, It talks about individuals that have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor. There are multiple references to Balaam, the prophet, in the New Testament. Here's the second one already. And the thing it emphasizes about him is that he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He was covetous. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. Jude 11 is a third instance in the New Testament. Jude, just one chapter, and Jude 11 says, "Woe unto them, they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." See, this is why the Lord was angry with him when he got up and left prematurely, I guess, when the Lord had told him about waiting, because already, see, the Lord knows the heart. He sees your heart. And he knows already, he sees where this is going. That Balaam, even though he's saying the right thing and he's doing the right thing through most of this in those three chapters, he's hung up on that money. And what happened is, even after going up on the mountain, offering those three different locations and professing and prophesying and saying, "You can't curse whom God has blessed. There is no divination. There's no enchantment against Israel," even though that was all so right. And he said, "God's not a man that he should lie." I mean, things we quote. And it is the word of God. It came through Balaam.
Yes.
Yet, after all of that was done, and after he went home, at some point, Balaam sent word to Balak and said, "I know how you can get them cursed." Isn't that something?
Yeah.
"I can't do it. You can't do it. Nobody can reverse whom God has blessed. But you can get them to bring it on themselves." Can you see this?
Yes.
What? He said, if you can entice them to worship these false gods,
yeah, right,
that God had commanded them not to do, which in essence is replacing God with that.
Yeah.
Well, see, and if you do that, you rejected God. You said, "I don't want the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't want that." Well, when you do that, you just lost your protection. If you don't want him, you lose what he gives. You lose what he has. If you say, "I don't want the God of Abraham," well, then you don't want his blessing either. You don't want his protection. You don't want his help. And that is still true today. You cannot blaspheme God, reject God, take him out of your schools, take him out of your government, take him out of your house, and still have all his blessing, huh? And all his protection. Does God owe people who despise him blessing?
No.
Does he owe people who blaspheme him and mock and hurt his people and fight his churches? Does he owe them protection?
No.
Not then. Not now. It's the same. And so this is despicable, what Balaam did. And it's really eye-opening too, that a man can have this much spirituality, right? And say things directly by inspiration from God and have visions from God, and later sell out. Completely sell out for money. Huh? Well, it just shows everybody's got a free will. Everybody's got a free choice. And you can. And never underestimate the pull of the flesh. Never. Now, no matter what kind of spiritual experience or development someone may have, they can get up tomorrow and go off the rails. Right? You or me don't have to, shouldn't, but you can. And he did. Because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. When Balak dangled that, all that money in front of him and all of that stuff, he couldn't get that off his mind. And he couldn't stand that it was that close to him having it, and he couldn't get it. So he went home and figured out how to get it. Isn't that something? And the way to get it, now this is terrible too.
Yeah.
He told them, you know, here's what you do. You send your women.
Yeah.
Who's with their daughters? Their women? You send them to the camp. Why? Because they're not just going to march down here and start worshiping idols with you.
No.
You gotta lure them into it. So you send your women to seduce the men,
right,
and pull them into this. And they did. And it happened. Now, go back with me a little bit. Go to the book of Exodus, because the Lord warned them of this long ago. I mean, from one of the first things he told them when he brought them out of Egypt was about this. Exodus chapter 34. In talking, did anybody remember the Ten Commandments? Well, in case you didn't, we got them right here. Huh? Yeah? Number one, help me with number one. You shall have no other gods before me. Which number is that?
Number one.
Number one. All of them, the Israelites, that we're reading about in chapter 25, that decided to go worship Baal Peor with the Midianites. These people, these same people, they saw the fire come down out of the sky and burn on the mountain, and they heard the literal voice of God say these words: "You shall have no other gods before me." It shook the ground. They heard it. And at one point, all of them said at that time by the mount, they said, what the Lord has said, we will do. We will do. They understood it. But here, some time later, they rejected God and replaced him with these false gods. He said in Exodus 34:14, "You shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." What does that mean? This is love. He's not willing to share you and I, or any of his people, with another religion and another God. He's not willing to. Should we expect him to?
No.
If he says, "I don't care who you worship," that means he don't care much about you. Right?
Right.
See, no, he can't love us intensely and greatly and then not care if we're unfaithful with other gods. Doesn't work. And so certainly it matters to him. He said, verse 15, "Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land and go a whoring after their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and one call you and you eat of his sacrifices." Do you hear what he's saying to them? This was way back in the beginning. Isn't he? He's saying in detail what happened in chapter 25 of Numbers. He's warning them in detail how it will go if you do this. He said, verse 16, "And you take of their daughters to your sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make your sons go a whoring after their gods." pulled into it through marrying or just getting involved with these other idol worshipers. Deuteronomy 7. Go to Deuteronomy 7. Why are we talking about this? Is anything relevant to us today?
Yes.
He warns us. Can we get mixed up with wrong things today?
Yes.
Oh, you know you can. You know you can. Deuteronomy 7:1. He said, when the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you go to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you are. See, any one of those nations should have been able to defeat Israel. Instead of them defeating all of them. When the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, and you shall smite them and utterly destroy them, you will make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. You will make, neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter shall you not give to his son, nor his daughter shall you take to your son. Why? For they will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. And so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. We cannot be inclusive of other religions. And other, are y'all listening to me?
Yes.
Other religions and other beliefs. Well, you need to be respectful of other. To respect other gods is to disrespect my God.
Amen.
No, no. And the danger is tolerance is the first step to conformity.
Amen.
That's what God is warning them. You cannot play with this, or the next thing you know, you'll be involved. And he said, you can't hang around. Your sons can't marry their daughters. This was not a rational thing or it was belief. It was about worshiping God. It wasn't just about foreign. It was about foreign gods. And our time's up again today. Said out loud, the Lord my God,
the Lord my God
is my God,
and my only God.
I worship him.
I serve him.
And no other. Hallelujah. Is that going to be true from now on?
Yes.
Well, come back tomorrow. As you can see, we just got into this real deep. Let's finish it up tomorrow. We'll see you soon back here at Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.